Good morning. Welcome, welcome, Day Spring. People in the back. There's more people in the back. We don't even have coffee cake. Good morning. There's two things I wanted to, that the Lord kept talking to me about this week. One reminds me very much of Fred, but we lost a family member Saturday. My sister-in-law's father passed away, Henry. Sweetest man ever. It was very shocking. He got cancer. They gave him a new drug, 3 years, 99% chance that it would be successful, and Henry was the 1%. And it was very sudden and shocking. And I kept calling the family, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And every time I asked, they said, we're so good. We're so good. We're so good. You know, he was 80. Different thing, but his wife called me, Renee, and she said, I just wanted to talk to you and share all the wonderful things that are happening. And it was just like, I wanted to drop the phone. You know, it was like, what are you talking about? You know, you just lost your, he was a minister. He retired from the ministry, went to work in a theater. And she said, you know, we work with all these people that don't know the Lord. And they're all coming to his funeral. And Henry would be so excited. And we are just going to celebrate and praise the Lord. And so that was the beginning of my week, where I would go to sleep and I would wake up almost every 2 hours. And I thought, this is when Fred comes in, because Fred and I talk about the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, so I started going, what in the world? How do you have joy and heartbreak at the same time? It just doesn't make any sense. It's not of this world. And the second thing that I thought about was gratefulness. They are grateful for the life that he lived. So, Lord, we just pray, this body prays. We are so grateful to be in fellowship together. We're so grateful for the joy that you give us, that we walk around with, that's so different than anything of this world, is the joy, is our strength that comes from you, the joy we get from you, even in times of heartbreak and grief. Lord, and I just pray that this service that's tomorrow will just scream out your name to people who don't believe, who've never been to church, who oppose you, Lord. I just pray that Henry's greatest desire would be that at his funeral, that these people would see you, feel you, be face to face with you, Lord. And I just thank you that every week when we come here, we get to be face to face with you as a body of believers. What an exciting, exciting, exciting adventure that is, Lord. And we just come, Lord, come. We just worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Melissa. Joy and gratefulness. That was interesting when she said he was a minister and then he retired and became part of the theater. I think that used to be one of the things that if you put that on your resume, they wouldn't let you be a minister. But I think that's pretty awesome. And, you know, pray that scripture comes to mind, unless a seed fall into the ground and die. So I pray that there's a large harvest from that. That's a big deal. That's, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful time to do it. So, Lord, we just add again with that. We just pray, Lord, that souls will come into the kingdom, Father. Lord, and they'll be who you created them to be, but they'll be in your kingdom, Father. Lord, we pray for that. Lord, we pray for this this lady, God, that she would get to mentor some of these souls. And just like when someone's like an organ donor and they get to meet the person later on who their loved one's organs keep that person alive, Lord, I pray that this lady gets to keep meeting these people over the course of their life and see this. It's like my husband's spirit of the Lord that was in him has been planted in them now, Lord. Lord, we just pray for that for her, God, that even though her husband's gone, she'll see the deposit he left, Father. In your name, amen. Amen. All right, y'all, let's get started this morning. thank you for everything last week. As many of you have spoken to Sarah and I, and we really appreciate that. It was pretty exciting for us. And what was fun was that puzzle. I tell you what, many things, I just sat. I didn't actually do my piece last week. I just sat there and I just watched, just to observe. And you know, people watching, I'm sure none of y'all, well, I'm sure many of y'all have done that before. I just observed and I just had a good old time. I saw who Dayspring is. And we were, our unique character came out very well. And it was fun. And even though our unique character came out, we still managed to get it done. We were all over the place. We were free. We were wild. But we still accomplished the mission, which was good. But, I mean, there were pieces backwards. There were pieces upside down. Some of us wrote it on the wrong side. I filled mine out later on, and I was kind of, I knew what was going on, and I filled out the wrong side of my puzzle piece. So, you talk about the blind leading the blind there. But anyway, it was just exciting. But the point is, all of us put in our little part. Some were back upside down, backwards, colors, whatever, glued on the wrong side, but it all came together. You know, even in the little things, God had to help us. But one thing I did notice is how much fun we had. And I, you know, I really want to encourage you, go back, read that sometime. See who those people are. If you see a name on there and you're like, who's that? Go find out. And now you know what makes them tick and really, you know, find out about each other. One thing I saw is we've got quite a few people who like to eat food. And we've got quite a few people who like to cook food. And I thought if we can get those two groups together for the kingdom of God, we might have something going. All right. That's how Sarah and my marriage works. I can't cook. I hate everything about it, but I can eat. And she loves to cook. It's one of the things in her family and all. So we're a good team together. And I just thought that was fun back there. But there's a lot of other good stuff. And again, it really... one of the other things I saw is that Dayspring has a very unique, how we've thought in our country, especially what defines church. Our body doesn't really fit that definition. And so what we've said, instead of saying, let's find out who God has made this body to be, we've kind of almost said, well, let's throw away church because we're not that. Well, what I want us to really do is let's look what the Bible says a church is. And let's fit that definition, not necessarily what we see around us, but at the same time, let's not castigate what we see around us. That's not what the Lord has called us to do, necessarily. But one of the things I noticed about Dayspring is that we have, some of our puzzle pieces are here all the time, every Sunday. And then we have some puzzle pieces who, for whatever reason, pop in and out. But they still kind of consider this is their home base. And in a traditional church, the kind that's out there, we would say, oh, we got to have the membership roll. Have y'all ever been to a church where they take attendance? On the wall, and they put the membership numbers up there. I am going to freak people out one Sunday. I'm going to put one of those things up on that wall right there. Y'all, you got to understand, I'm sarcastic and I joke a lot, but that would just be fun one Sunday to mess with people. Yes, yeah, very nice. Quite an investment in it. But that's not who we are. We're kind of a in and out, go and flow, and that's fine. That's who we are. And we have some people who are miles and miles away, but who still love this body. And they're part of our puzzle piece. And that's great. Just in the same way that, you know, you have relatives who are miles away who you might not get to see that often, but they're still part of the puzzle of your life. I like that. I like that about us. And I like who we are. I hope you do as well. There's also one other thing that's kind of interesting to me up there. First of all, if you don't know what we did last week, we had a homework assignment from the week before, which was talk to God and find out from God. God, who do you say that I am? Who did you make me to be? And then at the end of last week, Sarah and Tricia worked on this with Liz and Aaron. Come up and say, this is what motivates me in the kingdom of God. This is what I'm passionate about. This is who I am. So, if you haven't, there's puzzle pieces back there. There's markers. There's glue. Fill it out. You can kind of read the others to get an idea. And put your puzzle piece up there. Here come, you're going to put it across the front? Just showing them. I like it. Hey, why not? Now, so the reason I say that is we've got some puzzle pieces missing. And I don't believe there are any coincidences in the kingdom of God. I really don't. So some of you might not have been here. That's fine. That's who we are a little bit. But I also believe there are people in the greater Charleston area who are part of God's kingdom who haven't found a place where they fit yet. And they look, and again, I'm not saying bad on other churches. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're unique, and God has made us unique because there's lots of different. That's why there's so many churches that are all different, because there's so many people who are different. And some people just haven't quite found where they fit in yet. And they're like, I try these other places, and I'm supposed to fit there, and I'm supposed to do this and this, but that's not me. And I don't want to squash who God's made me to be. So there are some people out there, I think there are two groups. There are some believers who just haven't quite found where they fit in yet. And then there are some who don't believe quite yet, who think if they do believe, they'll have to change who they are. At their root, who they are. I'm not talking about like behaviors or things like that. Not talking about killing the old man and becoming new in Christ. I'm talking about they're like, I just don't fit into that. They have this idea of what being a Christian is, and they think, I don't fit into that mold. So instead of finding out what a Christian really is, they almost totally reject the gospel and Christ. So I think there's some groups, and I do want to ask you all, you know, the Great Commission says go into all the world and make disciples. And it's one of those things from the Lord that's not really an option. It's not really one of those things that you can say, I don't feel led to do that. Am I stepping on toes yet this morning? Well, let me keep going until I do. All right. I want you to ask the Lord, help me be part of someone's salvation story. Whether that means them getting saved and coming to Christ, or that means them being saved daily and finding a body of believers that can encourage them. Really, y'all, ask the Lord, God, who do you want me to use the gifts you've given me to reach out to help them fit in? All right? Okay, so I just like that stuff. If you look on your sheet this week, last week I got to speak about some verses that were my least favorite. This week I get to speak about some verses that are some of my favorites. And it's Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. All right, let's read it. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. And this is Jesus talking about how he'd been given revelation and he shared it with people, and some people had rejected it, mainly religious leaders, some of the bigger cities had. And Jesus said, thank you, God, that this, what your revelation has been revealed to some of the down and outers. Okay? And you remember last week, the scripture was about the base things confounding the wise things. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just a wonderful set of verses right there. And we see, as I said last week, some repetition here. Jesus saying, thank you for revealing this to the down and out, so to speak. But he also repeats there the idea that everything I have, all things, were delivered to me by my Father. I've been given everything by my Father, all right? So he's relying on the Lord, or on God the Father. And then he says, and I will reveal God to whoever he wants me to. So that's the context where we're at. God's wanting to reveal this to people. Some are rejecting it. Some are accepting it. Thank you, God, for those who are accepting it. And now I want to reveal God the Father to you all. I want to reveal that. So now we get to the verse, the main part there, okay? That word reveal there means to uncover, to unveil, to disclose, to make known, or to make manifest. And part of what your that homework assignment, God, who do you say that I am, is that over the course of time, God has a lot of things for us that he does want to reveal to us. There are things that the Lord has for us that we don't all know yet. Yes, we have Jesus and all that he has already inside of us. But there are growth periods where we can go to the Lord and he can reveal that next stage to us. There are, very practically, there are some things the Lord's not going to reveal to you when you're 20 that he will when you're 40. There are some things the Lord's going to reveal to you when you're 75 that he won't when you're 45. We all have new stages of life that we go through. And we want to always build our life on this ability to go to the Lord and have him speak things to us. That's why, and it's very humbling, actually, when you realize that fact that when I'm 30 or I'm 40 or I'm 50 or I'm 60 or I'm 70, I don't know it all about the Lord yet. And what that does, it makes you very reliant upon him, which is the basis for our whole lives anyway. But it also, when you understand it can come through other people, it makes you reliant on those around you. And when you come into a setting and different spiritual people are talking, your friends, your neighbors, whoever, you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying through them. Instead of coming with the thing, well, God revealed this to me, and now I'm going to bless you all by sharing it. I hope you can hear what I have to say. You see the difference in attitude? All right. Kind of a big deal for me there, all right? So he's going to reveal something to us. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whew. You all know as well as I do that sometimes life is labor, and you're working, and you're working, and it's wearisome, and you feel like I'm not getting anywhere. And life becomes dreary and just burdened. And there's a frustration that develops there. I'm not being productive. I'm working, but it's not producing anything. It's very frustrating sometimes. All right? And so the Lord says, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Rest simply means to cease from what you're doing, to refresh, to become calm and quiet with patient expectation. It does not mean, in the biblical context, not doing anything. It means stopping from what is not producing rest, stopping that, coming into rest and refreshment, and patiently expecting the next thing to come. You know when life can get frenetic and you go from one thing to the other, and as soon as you finish, like you're halfway through with one thing and another thing pops down in front of you that's more important and more crisis, and eventually you end up juggling like 8 things in the air and you can't let any of them drop. That's not really what God has for us. In fact, you can almost, I say almost because this is not true in every case, when that's happening to you, probably the best thing you can do is just stop. Ask the Lord to hold all the juggling spoons up in the air for you a minute and just take a moment to rest and refresh. I mean, he can stop the sun. He can stop all your issues from falling to the ground while you're juggling them, okay? And then come back and say, okay, I'm refreshed by you, Lord. And you'll find that half of those things that you were juggling are gone, and the rest are moving really slowly, and now you can do what he's got for you. And he might even tell you, let a couple of them drop and break. It's okay. I don't know where that came from, but it's good. All right. Okay, so come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay, I'm coming to the Lord. He's going to show me the things that I'm doing that are burdening my life, And this can apply to everyone in different ways. This can apply to someone who doesn't know the Lord yet, who's realized, this is not what I want my life to be. Here, I can show you. Let me take you to Jesus. Let me show you, like the woman in Samaria, where she went into her village and said, come, let me take you to a man who told me everything I ever did, but his words brought me life. We can do that. We can be part of that story. So he's giving us rest, and then the very next words out of his mouth are, take my yoke upon you. Doesn't seem like those two things go together. I'm going to let you rest now. Come for this new job I have for you. It's just, so when something like that appears in Scripture, where there seems to be a discordant note, it doesn't follow along, Lord, there's something you have for me there that I need to discover. So what are we talking about? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He's basically saying, come, let me show you the way for you to live your life. You've been living this way. We can't stop and do nothing. That's just not life. That's just called laziness. Okay? But let me show you what I have for you. Okay, Lord, I'm willing to accept you as my Lord and Master. I'm willing to submit my life to whatever you have for me. Then he says these words, learn from me. Learn from me. Well, how did his disciples learn from him? They saw what he did, and they heard what he said. He spoke, and he showed them. All right? When he spoke to them, they recognized the authority he had. They recognized that this guy's different from the other religious teachers down the road. He knows what he's talking about. So they learned from him. How many times have we gone over and saw where the disciples said, please teach us this. When you speak about it, it rings true and it actually does something for us. Speak to me. That's why with that homework assignment, I crafted my words very carefully. I didn't say go home and you discover who you are. I wanted you to connect with the guy who created you and hear what he had to say to you. Because sometimes we can put our own false expectations on ourselves or someone else's words. Because when you hear God speaking to you, he speaks life into your life. All right? Sometimes when I hear those words and I become who he created me to be, it becomes very easy. I just flow in what he's already doing. I don't recreate anything. I don't have to strive for it. I just fit in what he's already doing. And I might actually be doing more activity than I did when I was weary and labor-filled. But now all of a sudden it doesn't seem to be burdensome. It doesn't seem to weigh me down. I can keep going and I can keep doing it. All right? And sometimes when he talks to me, y'all have been there, what he has to say to me is hard and it's difficult to hear. But if I'm truly submitted and I hear it, then it actually does bring me freedom in life. Let me say that again. Sometimes what he has to say to us is difficult and hard to hear. But if I'm truly submitted to him, I won't just take the glitter and the unicorns he says to me. I'll also take the son, daughter, you need to eat your vegetables. That's for those of you out there who like to cook. Eat your vegetables. Anyway. And what he says there is, look, learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. I'm not going to command you around. I'm not going to come down on you. I'm not going to shout and yell at you. I'm gentle about this. I understand some of the things are going to be hard and difficult. His own father told him some things that were hard and difficult. Last week, someone prayed about the guy by the pool of Bethsaida, Jesus coming and healing him. Well, y'all, we know that Jesus' love and compassion and all those things, one of the most remarkable things is there were a whole bunch of sick and hurting people there. God told him to heal the one. That was hard for Jesus, y'all. Those of you who have ever done and helped others know when you reach that limit of, I've helped as many as I can, and you still see another dozen who need help, that's hard to walk away. That was hard for Jesus. How about just the crucifixion? Not my will, but yours be done. That was a difficult thing he had to hear from the Lord, to go through that. It happens. But we've also got to understand, when we trust him, those words, even the hard and the difficult, will bring life to us. All right. Now, then he says again, you will find rest for your souls. Why do we need to find rest if he's already given us rest? See, there's a different connotation here. The first is, I will give you rest. I'm restoring you. I'm refreshing you. Now take my yoke, my mission for your life upon you. Come learn from me. And when you learn from me and you observe how I do it and you hear my words that are spoken to you, you'll move into your new life and you will find rest. One is, I'm here, I'm sitting, I'm getting refreshed from the Lord, but I'm patiently expecting something more from him. When he speaks me, who I am, into my life, and I move forward out of that place of just sitting expectantly for him, and I move into something else that may be hard or difficult, as I obey him and move into it, I will find the rest and refreshment he has for me. See, I've been created for that. When I hear who I am in him, when I step into it, I'm like, I don't believe I'm doing this. I'm still working. It's challenging. It's difficult. But man, I'm energized. I've become who he created me to be. All right. Let's look at the second scripture on there. I want to go over a couple of examples for you. All right. Y'all, I'm sorry about this, but I like to share stories that I'm involved in because I've experienced stuff and I like to share what I've experienced. This is something I've experienced in my life. From the beginning of September through about the beginning of February, during football season, I can go from noon on Sunday. I know, Meredith, but this will be good for you. I can go from noon on Sunday to 1 o'clock Monday morning watching 14 straight hours of football, 12 games at a time. I can do it Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday, into Monday night. And I really like it when they have two Monday night games, so I can go from 6 to midnight Monday night. And I'm pumped at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm ready. I'm going. When it's not football season, like this afternoon, around about 2 o'clock, I'm going to be like, it's nap time. And I'll go to sleep for 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon. Now, I don't know what the difference is there. I don't know why I'm so tired when it's not football season. And I've actually sat down and thought about this, but it's who I am. I get energized by it. It's better than sleeping. All right? And I'm just like, huh. Well, it's like that when you get in, when you hear those words from the Lord, and you get in who you're supposed to be, who he created you to be. You can just go and go and go, and then he'll give you times of rest. But it's not difficult. Another example is teaching. All right? You put me in a room of teenagers, I thrive. I'm having fun. I'm doing good things. It's wonderful. It's, you know, it's great. You put me teaching Algebra 2, and I just go and go and go. I can go for hours. You put me in a room of kindergartners, in about 4 minutes, my brain is melting. I am breaking out in a cold sweat. I literally, y'all, when a kindergartner comes to talk to me, I talk to them, and then they ask me a question. My go-to response is, why don't you find your teacher? I have no idea. And you put two or three of them together, and it's loud and noise, and no. That is weary and laborful. Katie and I shared a joke this year. We thought, you know what, we're really going to mess the crown up next year. How about this? Katie, you come sit with the high schoolers and the teenagers all day, and I'll go with the kindergartner in first grade. It's not who we were created to be, all right? And finding that is key. Now let's look at the John 6, 63, 66 through 68. The context here is where Jesus has just spoken some hard and difficult things about communion, eating his body and drinking his blood. And a lot of people, including many of his disciples and followers, didn't get it. Now, first thing Jesus didn't do is he didn't say, whoa, no, 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 don't everybody leave. Here, I'll change what I said. Redo. I messed that up. All right? He said some hard and very difficult things. Okay? But here's what he said about it. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Again, he's speaking what the Father is saying to him through the Spirit. He doesn't have the option of changing them. All right? Skip a couple verses. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Ouch. Then Jesus said to the 12 and called a committee meeting and said, how are we going to rephrase our message? No. Then Jesus said to the 12, hey, are you guys leaving too? Do you want to go away? But Peter gets it. He understands what's going on. One of the great moments in Simon Peter's life. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You've told us something hard and difficult, but you have the words of spirit and life to us. And I might not quite get it yet, but I know you and I trust you that one day I am going to get it. And I'm not going to abandon. You have the words to life. I don't understand it all yet, but I feel it here. And I'm not going to ignore that feeling. I'm not going to ignore what my spirit is telling me about what you're saying. There's something there, and I'm going to find it. The context of this is really interesting. We have Matthew 11 there. It ends with Jesus saying, come to me, find rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The next chapter is Matthew chapter 12, where he goes right into his disciples and him walking in a grain field on the Sabbath. And the disciples start plucking the heads of grain and eating. There are some Pharisees there who see this and say, your disciples, you need to tell them to stop doing that because they're doing what's unlawful to do on the Sabbath. Now, you all know the Sabbath is the day of rest, right? And Jesus has just said, come to me, learn from me, I will give you rest. Next thing in Scripture, they're on the day of rest doing what in some people's opinion is unlawful to do on the Sabbath. And they say that to Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, haven't you all read that the priests do that on the Sabbath and it's okay? And didn't you all read that David went and ate the showbread? So don't come at me with your silly rules. They're getting life today. And they're being sustained. The very next thing, and this is one of my favorite Jesus passages. I love the way we got the pictures up by my membership thing. I'm going to put a picture of Jesus with glowing yellow coming off of him, a halo, and just in his, most calm, cherub, angelic face, Jesus was quite a hard dude sometimes. He would come in and tell it like it is. Here's an example. You can read the scripture in Matthew 12. These Pharisees come and talk to him and trash him and his disciples. He answers back with scripture and says, this is what we're doing. It then says this. He then went to their synagogue. Jesus took his disciples and went to those Pharisees' synagogue. And this is the story where I believe it was the man with the withered hand. And Jesus healed the man with the withered hand and then said to them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? He went to their home turf and said, all right, let's throw down. Now, why would Jesus do that? We know he didn't do it unless God or the Spirit led him to do it. Because, and he says this, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. Jesus wants to do what's good for his people. And what interferes with that, he's not about. So when he comes and he speaks words and does actions, there's two right there. Go ahead, guys, it's okay to eat. I'm sustaining your life. I will provide you with what you need to live. And then for those of you who are hurt or damaged or burdened, I will come and I will heal you no matter what's trying to stop it. So he teaches the disciples, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll remove your weariness and your burdens. And then he goes out and he shows them. He stands up for them. And a guy who is not a disciple, he just heals him because he loves him. That's what Jesus is about. I want to come and I want you to be who I created you to be. And I want to sustain your life and I want to heal your life. Take my yoke on you. Learn who I am and learn who you are. And then let's all get in this thing together. So I want to do something today as we head towards worship a little bit. We know that his words are life. And what he does for us brings life. But we also know, if we're being honest and open with each other, there are some things in our life that are burdensome, that are wearying. And when we were talking about that, you probably had a thought or two of, oh, yeah, that thing. I know exactly what he's talking about. I would like us to get into groups of three or four people and pray for each other about those burden things. And here's what this is about. This is about trusting each other, but even more important, it's realizing the Spirit of God is in that person there, and the words they're going to say to me are life. I'm going to release a burden to someone else. They're going to help me carry it. And they're going to ask the Lord for it. So, just to review. Get in groups of three or four. Doesn't matter who with. Try and find someone you don't know. Here's my burden. Now, let me add a word of caution. There's going to be groups of three and four, five maybe. If everybody tells their five-minute story, we're never going to end. Don't celebrate the burden. Celebrate the recovery. Here's my burden. Here's my wearisome. Please pray for me. And then everyone in the group pray for each other. All right? Can we do it? Oh, my. All right. I'll start by praying. That'll get us off on a good foot. Lord, we just love you. And God, we want to come to you. We want to find rest. We want to find that rest. We want to hear words of life spoken into each of us and over each of us, God. And we trust, Lord, since you're not literally here in the flesh. You left and said you were going to send the Spirit, which would be better for us, that the Spirit of God resides in those who are sitting next to me. So God, when I come to that person, it's not just that I'm coming to Bob or Sue or Sally. I'm coming to the God who created me, who's going to speak life to me through that person. And Lord, I trust you and I honor you. So Lord, whatever this burden is that I have or this labor, God, I want to take it to you, and I want to hear what you have to say to me. But also, Lord, right now, I know what this feels like. I know my friend feels this way. So, Lord, help me be the person that speaks life into somebody else. Help me esteem their need above my own need right now, God. Help me rest in the words that I have for them, God. Help use me to bring life to somebody else, Father. Amen. All right, let's go with one another. Find your people.